Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office Overtime.
We're going to deal with, I think it's a pretty sensitive subject today. We're going to be dealing with mental illness at work. So you might have a boss or someone you work with who is suffering from mental illness, and you may have self-diagnosed them with some form of mental illness, but they are. I mean, you see that they're, you know, whether it's depression or many other things that they're suffering, and, you know, how do you deal with that?
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass the baton to you.
And I'm sure we'll get plenty of input from you, Kathy, and Logan. I'd be interested in hearing as well. So, I mean, I think first and foremost, and actually interesting what we talk about in all of our books, the first thing is awareness, right? So, and I mean, we have a very sort of catchy statement, which is if you are feeling crazy, you may be in crazy. If you're feeling very often confused, distressed, constantly in fear, you yourself notice you feel very depressed after interactions with this person. If you're having this constant kind of whirlwind thing, you don't know who you're going to run into today. It's the same person, but you don't know which version of them you're going to get. And if you're feeling like you're always rehashing and rehearsing before you see the person or after you see the person, all those may be indications that you're dealing with someone who's got a mental illness condition.
So how do you deal with that?
Yeah. So
I mean, I'm assuming this is somebody you can't avoid. Like if it's somebody in another department,
exactly,
you don't have to deal with them, then you can observe it silently.
But right.
If you have to deal.
Yeah. So again, it depends. In a strange way, it depends in part how extreme the behavior is that you're recognizing. And I thought we could actually talk about some of the different versions of mental illness. But to say generally how you deal with it, it starts with being able to name behaviors that you see them doing that you think may not be good for them or may not be good for the company. You may want to document a little bit for yourself that you notice that the person is either, you know, very low energy or extremely anxious or not able to complete things or speaking in a racing way where it's hard to fully comprehend what they're saying. That would be a mania, manic piece. If they have mood disorder, that's a very hard one.
Yeah.
Because you can get the nice person one day and the enraged person the other day. And Kathy, you and I have dealt with a few individuals who grapple with borderline.
Yeah.
Personality, and that you may get someone who's extremely sensitive and tuned in and lovely one day and then just a nightmare the following day. So how do you deal with it? I think the first thing is to note for yourself what is happening here. What is the condition that I seem to be experiencing? And then you really have to consider what is my relationship with this person. For example, if it's a boss and you notice, well, let's say it's a boss and you notice that person is extremely depressed to the point of not being able to do their job, you certainly could at some point ask to meet with them and just express your concern. You know, I notice that you seem to be extremely low energy and it seems to be difficult to show up. And I'm just wondering if, you know, support would be good for you at this time.
You would say this to your boss?
Depending on your relationship with them. And it's also depending on the version of mental illness that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Some mental illness is more combative, more naturally in denial, or more sensitive than others. So one suggestion that I actually read in an article on this topic was that if you are very concerned about someone's well-being, you could also find an ally, like maybe someone who's on the same level as that person, and talk to them about what you're noticing, and then suggest potentially having a meeting. But again, it would be the two of you with that individual and just noticing the behaviors. Because as you say, even though you may be a great diagnostician, no one wants to be told, I think you're bipolar.
Well, you're not in a position to tell them that.
That's
not your job.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this is really sensitive where,
very sensitive.
You know, maybe a couple of you can go to somebody in a higher position, maybe HR, maybe not.
Yes.
But maybe this boss's boss, and just say that we're, you know, we're noticing these things and we don't know if you've noticed it or not.
Yeah.
And I've seen that in companies happen where the boss says, yeah, we know, and we're on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it still takes too long.
Mm-hmm. That's another part of the issue. Is you have to look at the culture, the work culture that you're in, and see how that company actually responds to mental illness or people who are may seem in one way or another to be reeling out of control. If they basically take a blind eye to it, you don't have a lot of leverage.
Yeah, that's right. Right. Unless you know somebody who knows this person personally,
right.
And maybe you can talk to that person.
Right.
You know, but other than that, there, you know, I would try to get transferred to another department, you know, go to somebody in another department. And if you can, it may not be interesting. But if you can get moved, that might be the thing to do.
And Kathy, that is such an interesting, point, even just because I was just thinking, you part of what you could do as you may be coming to terms with, oh gosh, this person does not seem well, is asking people, previous people, either in your position or in your department, have you noticed these behaviors before in this individual? Because if that is the case, and if nothing has really been done about it, then looking for a transfer and looking for mobility is really your best shot.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's unfortunate. What were you going to say? Yeah.
I was just going to ask, what if you're the individual who's dealing with the mental illness at work?
Yeah.
Is that something that you should communicate with your boss or colleagues? Is it something that you should keep to yourself?
Yeah. Again, that depends.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I've gotten advice when I've dealt with crazy people on how to deal with that person. And then my career continued to move forward and I got promoted in a way.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's the way to do it. You know, sometimes people do their job well, but they're just, their behavior is not great.
Right. Yeah.
And companies will, I think they buy it more from men than they do from women, but that's just my own personal opinion. They get away with it because maybe they bring in money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or they're a relative or some reason they don't get thrown out.
Right.
So actually, I just want to say very often bipolar people are amazing salespeople. Because when they're in a high state, they have a great sense of confidence and are very convincing in their way of communicating. They're brilliant. Mm-hmm. They can be brilliant. So that can really work for a company.
Yeah, but I've also seen people who are really normal go through some very traumatic things in their lives.
Yes.
Like they may be getting divorced and they have a bunch of kids. And so they take it out at work. I mean, there's other things that happen that may look like mental illness, but they're temporary conditions.
Yes.
But it's still very difficult. You know, work is hard enough that then on top of it, you have to deal with somebody's crazy behavior. You know, I know it doesn't seem fair, but those are the suggestions.
And I think when we work with people who are dealing with someone who might be mentally ill or going through a big loss or big transition of some kind, you forget that you need to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Right? That's really your best defense. Because, for example, if you sit in the room, even if it's a colleague who's extremely depressed, you may feel very depressed after interacting with that.
Pick up on that energy.
Exactly. And similar, if you're with someone whose mood is swinging back and forth, you are going to have internally start to feel like you're walking on eggshells every time you're dealing with
it. And it's funny, I've seen some people, once they know what the diagnosis is, and then they feel better, at least they understand this is not personal, it's not me.
That's right.
And they're able to deal with it a lot better. They just avoid the person, which, you know, we can do. You know, it's always the bathroom, there's hallways, there's ways to avoid sometimes.
Yeah.
I know this is really, really tough, but it is in every workplace, unfortunately.
Right. Well, and then what I was going to say, very often, I was thinking of the very anxious boss or coworker or the, OCD boss or coworker. Those people can be very exacting. Those are often the micromanagers. Those are the people. They can be very sympathetic characters too, because you want to help them. They seem so needy and miserable. But it's very important not to take on their problems. Right. That's the other thing that I think mm-hmm. often can happen inadvertently. You become your boss or your coworker's therapist. You become their protector who's mm-hmm. covering up everything that they're going through. Mm-hmm. And so that's...
Yeah, it's the worst thing you want to do. You want them to be obvious to everybody.
That's right.
So then mm-hmm. if you're protecting them, then only you're dealing with it. That's not good for you.
You get an A+, Kathy. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and we have clients that do that.
That's right. Then you're enabling. That's the term. The common term is that you're enabling someone if you're constantly covering for them and not letting them live with the consequences of their behavior.
Right.
And so this is a version of tough love sometimes, too, to be able to say either, you know, if someone drops the ball because they're having an episode of some kind, to let the ball drop so that it can be called to their attention that they need to get some treatment.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not easy.
No, it's not easy and it's not fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last thing I just wanted to talk about is maybe the look of some of these,
sure.
if I may. So if someone is very depressed, they're going to have what we call flat affect. Mm-hmm. You may have a hard time reading them because they don't express very much of anything. Mm-hmm. They may look almost pained when they're listening to you, which if you take it personally, you think that you must be boring.
Ugh, I've had that.
They may have no pleasure in their work and no pleasure in interactions with you. Uh-huh. Again, you may experience this as feeling like you're a boring person or not interesting. And even when you deliver good news, you'll get sort of a limp smile, and then you'll feel the heaviness fall mm-hmm. again. So that's depression. Anxiety, I think, is probably quite familiar for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I will say when I'm with a super anxious person, I start to feel anxious yeah. because there's a sense of, yeah. oh, my God, worry is the primary activity going on at mm-hmm. all times. What if this is bad? I can't, this is not going to work out. It's also, there's a lot of awfulizing, predicting negative projections of what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then the bipolar, an interesting aspect of that is it is bipolar. So if you're working with someone, and there are two forms of it,
yeah.
but in both forms, there's a low depressed aspect of it, and then there's a high kind of yeah. hyperactive aspect of it. And so when they're in a good state, it could be a lot of fun to work mm-hmm. with this person, and very generous and buying things and going on trips.
Right.
But you'll notice that there's probably a push in their voice and an edginess that's like, they're reverberating a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the borderline, I don't know why I find that the tough
Oh, it's
one.
A really tough one.
Yeah.
Because there's narcissism in there.
There. Thank you, Kathy.
I'm sorry. I've been living with you for a couple of years, so...
That was brilliant because narcissism is a condition in and of itself.
Right.
But the borderline has the charisma of a narcissist and the self-centeredness, but it's masked in being very other-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
On the good days and the good mood time, they see you, they know you, they appreciate you, they tell you everything that's wonderful about you. And on the bad days and moments, they push you away and condemn you and tell you you're horrible and you don't do anything right.
And I think they stab you in the back.
They do.
I think that's maybe I've dealt with these.
Yeah. Very manipulative.
Yeah, very mm-hmm. manipulative. But I think there's even some more subtle, where people maybe are, we can't really...
Absolutely.
Label a mental illness, but yet they have anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
Or yes. they have, tend to be very selfish,
yes.
self-centered. I just think there's a whole variety
Absolutely.
Of, which may not be horrendous.
And there's spectrums, right?
Yeah,
there's a range.
Right.
That's absolutely true. And the other thing that's interesting, because I was thinking about the OCD, that one of the great examples of an OCD co-working situation that I remember is this employee who would hoard all the food in the refrigerator. Couldn't let go of any of it, right?
What?
And then would also kind of took hours preparing meals because was obsessed with that, right? And was obsessive about it.
This is a friend of yours.
This is someone we know. And but the thing was interesting was she lost many jobs over that behavior.
Of course.
Because the other employees couldn't work with her.
Yeah, that's just weird. And then, you know, so there's this plain weird that you don't necessarily want to put up with, like the guy who watches porn during lunch. You know? Like there's other weird stuff that people do at work. And, you know, how do you cope with that? And I definitely, you know, think I always say to people, first of all, this is not about you.
Right.
Don't take this personally.
That's
it's so easy to personalize it and think, you know, no one else sees it. No one's done anything. So it must be just to me. And that's a big part of this. And, you know, if you can gather numbers of people to go and say, we think there's a problem here, then that can sometimes work.
Yes. I love that. It's not about you. And also trust your gut, because usually we know on some level when something's off or when someone is off. And to your point, if you don't take it personally and you just start to observe and then you see who else is noticing this, then that helps with your sanity, because that's the one thing is you don't want to have to doubt everything that you're doing and experiencing based on someone else's condition.
Well, it's interesting. I have these three women I'm friends with, and I see one person as very problematic, and the other two don't see it.
Yeah.
And I find that interesting, because we'll have dinner together, and it's clear to everyone this is not okay. And and after, they'll say, oh, yeah, that was weird. And then they forget. They sort of have amnesia, which I find that fascinating also, is that they're, what is that?
Is it just you become familiar with their behaviors, and so...
No, I think it... Well, it's it may be denial, but also... Right, it may be normal for them. And that's the other part that's interesting, right? Which is that what people can tolerate differs from person to person, and what forms of behavior are manageable or feel unmanageable to you really differ. And that's part of the challenge, too, because you come away from those dinners thinking...
I don't want to do this again.
Yeah.
Because that's not fun. I'm watching somebody behave weird.
Right. But you're not getting confirmation, which is can be confusing initially.
Well, there's confirmation in the moment, and then they seem to have amnesia. But I've seen that in the workplace also.
Absolutely.
Like, people, in a way, don't want to deal with that.
Never want to deal with it.
So they just sort of say, oh, well, maybe it wasn't that bad. Maybe I made it up.
Right.
Right, right.
You know, because they're good most of the time. Like,
right.
I just find that interesting. Whereas I, maybe because this is the work that we do.
Yeah.
When I see it, once I see it, I have to distance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think you do have to distance from it. I think that's the healthier thing to do rather than say it's not there. I don't think you're supporting the person.
No.
And I don't think you're supporting yourself.
Right, because that's denial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's more enabling in a way.
It is enabling.
Right? You're not calling someone to task. So we're saying a number of things. We're saying, number one, this is a complex issue, but we wanted to bring it up because we know it's a real issue for a number of people at work.
Mm-hmm.
Kathy is saying the most important thing, which is to understand it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about awareness, like noticing what you are experiencing and trusting that what you think is happening probably is happening.
Yeah, and if others don't agree to the extent that you do, then you probably have to move on, you know, transfer to another department or find another job, because it's not a safe environment for you.
Right. Well, and especially with like a mood disorder person who's, you know, vacillates and raging and attacking and then trying to, like a battered, you know, after battering you, be nice and make up, or borderline, or something else that's just intolerable over time that takes where you end up taking a beating. That to me is sort of the, you know, that's the litmus test.
Right.
Logan, do you have any other observations about this mental illness at work?
I think we covered all the bases here today, ladies.
Yeah, but we would love to hear your questions, so please.
Yes, we would.
Yes, please send any questions and ideas and stories you have about this issue, mental illness in the workplace, to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.